Today, church, I want to talk to us in the time that we have about covenant relationships. Covenant relationships. On this Palm Sunday, on this week before Easter, God wants to remind us some things about covenant. We have our newest covenant members that we're going to be introducing today, Steve Hall, Jerry Mowens, Donna Mowens, Jackie Peppers, Rebecca Richards, Linda Rudolph, and Charlie Rutherford. Would you give a hand of affirmation and thanksgiving for these? Let's look at the Word of God for today in Matthew. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 29. Let's read out loud the Word of God, please. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Today, church, we're going to be talking about covenant relationships. That same and awesome God that we were talking about that does miracles so great is the same God who said, taught us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When he went through with his 6 days of creation, one of the statements that he made when he made his crowning achievement in mankind was, "It is not good for man to be alone." Tell somebody next to you, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for us to be alone, but sometimes many of us find ourselves lonely. And we go looking for relationships. And that can be one of the best things that we do or one of the worst things that we do, depending on the kind of relationship that we find. What God wants to teach us about is that we need a covenant relationship. But many of us, we don't really know what we mean by a covenant relationship. We talk about becoming a covenant member of Truth Tabernacle of Praise. That sounds good, may even make you feel good, but what does it mean? What does it mean to be in covenant with your brothers and your sisters? What does it mean to be in covenant with God? Well, those are some of the things that we want to try to explore today and put an exclamation point around this subject of covenant relationships. You see, in America, we have drifted away from the covenant aspect of relationships to contractual aspects of relationships. A contract is simply an agreement between two people to meet psychological or emotional needs in our life. And being the consumers that we are, whenever we don't like the contract that we're in, if our psychological needs or our emotional needs are not being met the way that we think they ought to be met, then we'll just go and find us another contract. But a covenant is completely different than that. It is much more binding than that. It is much more of a blessing than that. And so I want to talk to you some about covenant relationships. Andrew Murray was a man that God used mightily in the 1800s. I want you to listen as I read a small portion of what Andrew Murray wrote back in the 1800s. He said, "Blessed is the man or woman who truly knows God as his covenant God, who knows what the covenant promises him or her. To many, a man or woman of God who has never thought much, too many a man or woman of God has never thought much about the covenant. A true and a living faith in it would mean the transformation of his or her entire life. The full knowledge of what God wants to do for him or her, the assurance that it will be done by an almighty power, the being drawn to God himself in personal surrender and dependence and waiting to have it done, all of this would make the covenant the very gate of heaven. May the Holy Spirit give us some glimpse or vision of its glory. As we talk about covenant relationship today, I want you to understand that covenant is the missing piece of the jigsaw puzzle that completes our so great a salvation. However, many of us know very little about the covenant, and therefore we've been settling for contractual relationships. How can we move from a contractual, consumer-oriented mindset to a covenant-based aspect of relationships? Well, there's three things that I want to touch base with you on today. First of all, I believe we need to examine the subject of covenant relationships. I really believe that we need to examine the subject of covenant relationships. As I've sought to reduce this to its simplest terms, there are two things that I want to say to you about the subject of covenant relationships as we examine it. First of all, I want to call your attention to the first mention of the term in the Bible. I want to call your attention to the first mention of the term in the Bible. In Genesis 6:18, God says, "But I will establish my covenant with you and shall enter the ark. You and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you." Now, that's not the first covenant in the Bible, but it's the first mention of the word covenant in the Bible. And whenever a word is first mentioned in the Bible, it sets the tone and the temperature of that word or the meaning of that word. And so what we find here is the first mention of the word covenant was with between God and Noah. This was when God was going to rain judgment down on the world for its wickedness. But God had a person, and God had a family that he wanted to protect through that flood of judgment, and it was Noah. And God said, "I'm going to make a covenant with you and with your wife, with your sons and with their wives, and I will protect you in this covenant relationship when I judge the rest of the world." The second mention of covenant is in chapter 9, verse 8, and it has to do with Noah after he's come through the flood. And anytime you see a rainbow, it will remind you that God is reminding himself of his covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Noah when Noah came out of the ark after the entire world was flooded. He came out and he honored his covenant. He said, "Noah, you'll never have to worry about this happening again. Whenever you see the rainbow set in the sky, that's the promise of my covenant that I'll never destroy the world with a flood again." Well, the third mention of the word covenant is in chapter 15, verse 17, and that's with Abraham. That's with God and Abraham. The fourth mention of covenant is in chapter 17, verse 19, and that's with God, with Isaac and Jacob, Abraham's sons. The last mention of covenant is in Genesis chapter 31, verses 44 and 49. This is the covenant between Jacob and his father-in-law, Laban. I like that discussion, and all of you daddies with girls out there that are not yet married, you might want to establish a covenant with your son-in-law or future son-in-law as well. This covenant between Jacob and Laban was this. Laban said to his son-in-law Jacob that if you mistreat my daughters in any way, or if you take any other wives to be to marry other than these daughters right here, then I'm going to hurt you. And he said, "Do you agree with this? Do you believe I mean what I'm saying?" And Jacob said, "I believe you mean what you're saying," and said, "All right, let's make a covenant between us on this." And so they named the place Mizpah. Now, you might want to write that down and say, Pastor, tell me what that means in just a minute. I'll get back to it, I promise you. So as we examine the subject, we notice the first mention of the term starts in Genesis. And the last mention of the term in Genesis, chapter 31, verses 44 through 49. But that's not the end of covenant. It's just the end of it in Genesis. The second thing that I want to show you this morning is not only do we need to mention, notice the first mention of the term, but now we need to notice the first meaning of the truth. What was the first meaning of the truth as the word was first mentioned? Well, in Genesis chapter 6 as well as Genesis chapter 9, God says to Noah, "Now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you." What you would need to know is that the word covenant is used at least 298 times in the Word of God. The Old Testament for the word, now here you go, Charlie. Here's you another Hebrew. I'm adding to your Hebrew learning here, all right? The Old Testament word for covenant is berith. Berith. Tell somebody berith. Now, berith is a compact or an agreement that was made by passing through the pieces of flesh. Now, what you're going to notice about our setup today in our new worship center is that we have a center aisle. In essence, on our covenant emphasis on relationships today, you have provided a covenant setting for us today. When you have weddings, the ideal situation in a wedding is to have the covenant situation or the covenant setting with a center aisle. And when the groom comes out, he's the first one that comes out, and he's going to show that he is initiating the terms of this covenant. And then the father will come with his daughter, the bride, down the center aisle. And what she's saying is, I am in agreement with the terms of this covenant. And he brings her down and places her hand in his hand, and at some point in time, he'll kiss her on the cheek, cry a little tear, and shake his fist at the boy and say, you better do what you said you're doing here, or something like that. That's all in the behind-the-scenes stuff. But places her hand in his hand, and by doing so, he's saying, I'm in agreement with the terms of this covenant, and if it's a Christian wedding, he is saying that I believe that you are the very best representation of Christ for my daughter. And I believe that you are going to love my daughter the way that Christ loved the church. And now I transfer her into your care and for the making of this covenant. Well, the meaning is an agreement. And in the Bible, what we find out about this covenant and the establishing or a promise or an agreement is that they were primarily established in three ways. First of all, between nations. Nations made covenants. Secondly, between individuals. And thirdly, between God and man. Between God and man. When it was an agreement between nations, it was a treaty. It was an alliance of friendship for the establishment of peace. When it was between individuals, it was a pledge or an agreement with specific obligations. And when it was between God and man, it was an agreement that would oftentimes be accompanied by signs, by sacrifices, and a solemn oath that sealed the relationship with promises of blessing for keeping the covenant as well as curses for breaking the covenant. You would basically have two kinds of covenants, conditional and unconditional. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. So as we explore covenant relationships, we not only need to examine the subject, which we've briefly done, but now we need to also explain some of the symbols. Explain some of the symbols. It was an amazing thing as I have been studying for a lot of years the subject of covenants, how many symbols there are in the Bible associated with covenants. You may not realize that salt is a symbol of a covenant. When you enter into a salt agreement with someone, it's in the Bible. But I want to talk to you about a couple of the more revealing ones and ones that actually have New Testament application to them as well. First of all, some covenants included exchanging of possessions. Exchanging of possessions. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 3, then Jonathan made a covenant with whom? With David, because he loved him as himself. Verse 4, Jonathan stripped himself of the outer robe that was on him, and he gave it to David with his what? His armor, his sword, his bow, and his belt. Now, what do those symbols mean? Somebody say, what do those symbols mean? I'll tell you in just a minute. But a lot of covenants were initiated and ratified by the exchanging of possessions. Number two, I've got a lot to get back to, okay? I'll get to it in just a minute. Not only were some covenants involved the exchanging of possessions, but other covenants involved sprinkling of blood. They involved sprinkling of blood. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 18, the Word of God says, therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without what? Blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you. And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with blood. So some covenants included the exchanging of possessions. Some covenants included the sprinkling of blood. But the third thing that I want to show you about the symbols is that some covenants included the utilizing of a memorial. Utilizing a memorial. In Genesis chapter 31, verse 44, it says, Jacob and Laban again, so now, come, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. Then Jacob took a what? He took a stone, and he set it up as a pillar. And Laban said, this heap, these stones, this memorial is a witness between you and me this day. So as we examine the subject, we've seen the first mention of the term. We've seen the first meaning of the truth. It's an agreement. It's a promise. It's an oath, sometimes accompanied by signs, sometimes accompanied with symbols. We've not only sought to examine the subject, but we've also accepted to explain the symbols. Sometimes covenants involve the exchanging of possessions, the robe, the sword, the belt, and the shield. Also, some memorials or some involve the sprinkling of blood. And some covenants involved the utilizing of a memorial. Now, say, Pastor, are you going somewhere? Are you going somewhere with this? I'm going somewhere with this. It's the third point. And you say, man, this is good. This is nothing like last week or the last week or the last week. Well, we're not finished yet either. But the third thing we need to do, we not only need to examine the subject and we not only need to explain the symbols, but we also need, now look at this, we need to embrace the significance. I've said all of that in a hurried fashion because now I want the Spirit of God to set down on us. I've said all of that in order to say this, I want you to think about embracing every aspect of the significance of covenant that the Spirit of God will let your little mind and your little heart embrace. How do we go about embracing the significance of covenant relationships? Well, first of all, we need to look at the example of and find the significance of exchanging of possessions. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, what was it that Jonathan stripped off of himself? The robe or the outer garment that he had. Now, he didn't get naked. It was just like an overcoat for us, if you can contemporize it a little bit. But what was the significance of Jonathan taking his robe off and giving it to David? And what would the significance have been of David taking his robe off and giving it to Jonathan? And more importantly than the significance between them is, what significance does that have for you in the covenant that you have with God and that God has with you? What significance does that have with you as a member of Truth Tabernacle of Praise and your brother or sister as a member of Truth Tabernacle of Praise? What possible significance could it have between us and our covenant relationships? Well, I'm glad that you want to know. All right. First of all, I want to show you what God says to us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, the Apostle Paul says, "For all of you who were baptized into whom? Into Christ, have done what? Clothed yourself with whom?" Oh my goodness, I don't think you're getting this quite yet. I think you sniff something. I think you smell something here. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says, "In reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the what? The old self." And verse 24 says, "And put on what? The new self." Why? You are in a covenant with God. You're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. What did God do for you when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He exchanged garments with you. He says, I want you to take your unrighteousness. I want you to take off your robes of unrighteousness, and I want you to give them to my son Jesus. Well, what's he going to give me? He's going to take off his robes of righteousness. He's going to take off his robes of righteousness, and he's going to put them around you. Now, what happens? What is that significance to you today as you think about being in covenant with God? As you think about what it means to be a child of God? What it means is, when you took off your robe and you gave it to your covenant partner, it means you are swapping identities. You are exchanging your identity. You're no longer yourself, but you're in covenant with this one right here. When Jonathan took his robe off, his robe was a distinctive robe that identified him as Jonathan. Whenever anybody saw him walking down the road, they could see him and they could recognize him by the garments that he had on. And when he did that, he took it off and he says, "David, when people see you, I want them to think of me. And when people see me, I want them to think of you." We are in covenant relationship with one another here today. I want to show you how we're going to illustrate this today. Man, this is requiring great humility here. What is this hat? David and I are in covenant. We're in covenant membership here. What's David got on here? We're going to exchange garments. Oh, mercy. You know, you might not like everything about your covenant partner. You might not like everything about their garments. But when you're in covenant with one another, you're willing to take on their identity. And when we do this, now the good thing about this is my team still has a chance to win this weekend. His team's lost. It's already out to do that. But do you get the idea about covenant relationships? It is the taking on of another person's identity. That what you're saying is that we too are going to become known as one. We're going to be unified together. And when you become a member of Truth Tabernacle of Praise, you take on the identity of everybody here. That's what God is teaching us. And the greatest communication of that truth is that when you become a child of God, all of your old self Your old way of living gets to get stripped off of you. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Boy, isn't it great to know that you can start all over again? You can have a fresh start. And beloved, when we come together and we become covenant partners, we are taking on each other's identity. When you're a member of Truth Tabernacle of Praise, you represent me. When you become a member of Truth Tabernacle of Praise, I represent you. What you do out there speaks of me. What I do out there speaks of you. And we all speak of Jesus. On October 21st, 1980, when I was born again, God said, now we're in covenant. I'm taking off the robes of unrighteousness, and I'm putting on you robes of pure righteousness. And so when I walk today, I walk as 100% righteous. That's what you say when you enter into the baptism pool, is that the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become brand new. I am in covenant with Jesus, and I've laid aside my old garments of unrighteousness. Can somebody say we've exchanged possessions? The robes. That's what the robes speak about, is the exchanging of identity. But what about the weapons? They didn't just change robes. The Bible says they also exchanged swords. The Bible says they also exchanged their bow. What does it mean when you change weapons with someone? What you're saying is, from this day forward, because we are in covenant together, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect you. There's nobody going to hurt you on my watch. There's nobody going to badmouth you. There's nobody going to belittle you. There's nobody going to accuse you. There's nobody going to slander you. There's nobody going to physically hurt you. I am going to be your protector. No matter what the price, no matter what the cost, no matter who the enemy is, you become even closer than family. Now, Jonathan got put to test with that. In chapter 18 is when the covenant was made. You just read chapter 19, and chapter 20, and chapter 21. Jonathan's father, Saul, put out a death watch on David. And now Jonathan was in a dilemma. How do I honor my father who's being wicked and unreasonable? And how do I honor my covenant with David? Read chapters 19, 20, and 21. Jonathan would stand up to his father and say, this is not right. I am going to protect you at all cost. When you become a child of God, guess what God, your covenant partner, says? You don't have to worry about anything. I'm going to defend you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to watch over you. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Can you embrace the significance of a covenant relationship now? By the exchanging of these possessions, when we exchange robes or garments, we exchange identities. We take on the identity of our covenant partner for good, for bad, for ugly, for worse. And we exchange weapons. And when we exchange weapons, we're saying, you don't have to worry about fighting your enemy alone. I'll always be there to help fight the enemy. That's why it is so grievous to the heart of God and so damaging to the body of Christ when churches fight with one another, when fellowships split and divide over unessential things. It breaks the heart of God. It damages the witness of the body. And basically what it means is you have no idea of covenant relationships. We sing a song here that we need each other. It's a covenant song. That's what it is. I won't harm you with words of my mouth. I need you and you need me. Do you receive that? Say amen. Amen. Well, that's just a part of it. Let me show you the second part. Not only do we see the beauty and the significance of exchanging possessions, But oh, look at this next one, the sprinkling of blood. What is it about the sprinkling of blood that we need to embrace the significance in? Well, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16, it says, "For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of one who made it. And according to the law, all things are cleansed with what? With blood." Now let's read that again for you real carefully here. In Hebrews 9:22, "And according to the law," how many things are cleansed with blood? All things are cleansed with blood. The sprinkling of blood on a person, a place, or a thing symbolized the fact that that person, place, or a thing that was sprinkled with blood has now become holy, has now become sanctified unto the Lord. Now let's look again at Hebrews chapter 9, verses 18, 19, and 20. What kinds of things did the writer to the Hebrews say that Moses sprinkled with blood as a part of their covenant relationship? In Hebrews 9, 18, "Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without what? Blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all of the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and what? All of the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you.' And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all of the vessels of the ministry with blood." Now, did you see that? He sprinkled the entire tabernacle. He sprinkled every furnishing, every utensil, every space of that tabernacle with blood. Why? Because he was designated it as part of a covenant relationship. This is holy unto God. This is sanctified unto God, and it will forever be seen that way, and it will forever be utilized that way. Everything was. Now, can you imagine me today up here? Because it says not only was the book sprinkled with blood, not only was the tabernacle sprinkled with blood, not only were the utensils sprinkled with blood, but the people were. Can you imagine me up here today just immersing you, just sprinkling you with blood, sanctifying you? Well, hold on yet. The service is not over. Oh, my goodness. We have already begun the process of sanctifying these facilities unto God. For 72 hours, person after person stood up here and walked through here and sat out here reading out loud the Word of God. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through truth. God's Word is truth." We're not finished yet. We're not finished sanctifying this place yet. We've got more to come. And you get to be participants today according to your faith. Well, we are going to cleanse this whole place with blood today. You say, huh? What do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, how are we going to do this? I'm glad you really want to know right now. We're going to do it by the third part of the message, by utilizing a memorial. By utilizing a memorial. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus says, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this," what? "In remembrance of me." The Lord's Supper is a memorial. It's a memorial meal. It's a memorial ordinance. The bread representing his body. And the juice representing his blood. And we are going to utilize the bread and the juice as a memorial for cleansing and sanctifying the facilities at 5705 Memorial Drive. When Paul quotes 1 Corinthians 11:24, he's really quoting something that Jesus said in Matthew 26:27. "And when Jesus had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the what? The covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins.'" Now, in just a moment, you might have been able to look with discernment down here and see that we are probably going to be observing the Lord's Supper. We have some juice in these trays, and we have some bread on those trays, and we are going to do so. This is going to be part of our consecrating the building for the glory of God. The next thing that we'll do after our consecrating the building, we've sanctified the building, we've cleansed the building, we've moved into the building, is we got to bless the building as well. But today we're going to be consecrating the building. How are we going to do this? What I want to do is take you back in time to about 22 months ago. I want to take you back to the Sunday evening before our first official service at Truth Tabernacle of Praise. For those of you who were not with us, it was one of those that you either wouldn't want to miss or glad that you did. No. We used visual aids that day. Those that came were not told very much about it, but when they came, they began to notice something unusual already. When they arrived at the facilities at the Mountain Park Aquatic Center, there was a hearse. When they came inside, they found me and Marie and David and Yvette dressed in black. They found a coffin in the service at the altar. They had pallbearers dressed in black from the funeral home that brought the coffin in. And before we could go forward, we had to hear a word from God. We had what is commonly or affectionately known now as the voice of God to speak to us. I want you to listen to what the voice of God had to say to Truth Tabernacle of Praise on the eve of our first official service.
My precious children, before the foundations of the world were set in place, I knew that I would be speaking to you today. I knew the name of your church, Truth Tabernacle of Praise. I knew that you would set aside today to honor me. Today I am watching you bury your past. Today I am watching you bury religion and traditions. Today I am watching you bury all programs as you have known them. Today I am watching you bury all judgment. Sin is sin to me. I am the only judge. Today I am watching you bury division. I will not abide with a divided people. Today I'm watching you bury racism. I see color because I created it. I love each of you equally, and so should you. Today I am watching you bury gossip and lies. I am the God of truth, not slander. Today I am watching you bury what the church has become, full of dead rituals that reach out only to its own. Today I am watching you bury the idols that you have placed before me. I am a jealous God. There shall be no other God before me. Today I am watching you bury your flesh. My own son had to crucify his flesh. I expect you to do the same. Henceforth, and from this day forward, you, Truth Tabernacle of Praise, you who are in covenant with this church will need to die to your flesh daily. Set your wants and desires down on the altar. Put your yes in its place. Yield yourself to me. I have plans for you. I have plans to prosper you and for you to succeed. I will not harm you. I love you. I am in your midst. I am here. I am your creator. I am leading you. I am directing your every step. Allow me to place your feet on solid ground as you walk by faith. I see your coming and your going. My eyes are on the righteous. I have been testing your faith. I have observed the motives of your heart. I am weighing the desires of your heart. In the days to come, as you stay humble before me, we will walk together. If you keep iniquity out of your heart, I will hear the cries you send up to me. I will answer. Your praise has been a sweet smell to my nostrils. My spirit has been in the midst of your praises. Do not quench me. Give me room to manifest myself before you, and you will see miracles. My precious children, let me encourage you to go forward in truth. Truth will set you free. Truth will set your friendships free. Truth will set your marriages free. Truth will set your jobs free. Truth will set your children and your grandchildren free. Truth will set your church free. Truth does not look like what you think it will. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Truth doesn't line up with man's traditions or any religion that is on the face of the earth. I am bigger than that. Do not try to conform me to what you know. Learn from me. Taste and see that I am good. Nothing or no one can satisfy the longings of your heart like I can. I will fill you to overflowing. It is time for you, Truth Tabernacle of Praise, to walk in the freedom I have for you. I want to create a kingdom-minded church. I want a place where the servants are ready and willing to help the people. I want you to reach out to the lost. Tell them about me. I love them. I sent my son from heaven to earth for them. I want you to reach out to the orphans, the poor, and the widows. These people need me. They need a touch from me. You are my hands and feet. Whoever you feed or clothe, you are doing this for me. Touch those nobody else would touch. Reach out to the AIDS patients and the homosexuals. They need me. They are deceived by the enemy. Love the prostitutes and fornicators with my holy and righteous love. They give their bodies away, hoping to find love and acceptance. They need me. Show respect to murderers. They have hatred in their hearts. I want to replace hate with love. They need me. Embrace the adulterers. The enemy has shown them greener grass on the other side. They only find dry and barren land. They need refreshment for their souls. Give out of your abundance to the robber. Show them they do not need to steal to have things, because I will give and give to them abundantly. Give me room to fill the void in the lives of drug addicts and alcoholics. Instead of them reaching for the next fix or bottle of wine, they can reach for me. They are trying to put things into the space where only I fit. Show them that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Today, Truth Tabernacle of Praise, I have chosen you to take this mantle of authority and be Jesus to Atlanta and to the world. If I am for you, who can be against you? Walk in peace. Go in peace.
We affirmed that those were words that God would speak to us if God were speaking to us in an audible voice. Today, as we talk about covenant relationships, I want to renew my commitment to being all that God expects us to be. In the book of Genesis, when God was establishing the covenant with Abraham, he had him to take the sacrifices and to cut them in half and to lay them on sides and in the middle. And the Bible said that there was a burning furnace and a flaming torch that walked through the midst of them. God walked through the midst of that covenant that day. And God said he was ratifying that covenant. He was establishing that covenant. He would be for Abraham, and nothing would separate him. And today, as the shepherd of this church, I'm walking forth down this center aisle telling you that I will be your shepherd, that I will be your teacher, that I will be your leader, that I will be your identity. I will be your friend. I will feed you with truth. I will protect you from ravenous wolves. I will be a humble servant leader. I will feed you from the Word of God. I will lead you along the straight and the narrow way. I will be accountable to you. I will be accessible to you. I will be available to you. I will be your pastor, and I will walk with God, and I will serve God. I will praise God, and I will worship God. And I need to know, will you go forward as a child of God? Will you submit yourself to the will of God? Will you place yourself under the grace of God? Will you walk under the truth of His Word? And in doing so, will you have fellowship with Him? And would you have fellowship with others? Will you be a true kingdom-minded church? Will you truly be one who embraces all peoples? And will you be one who welcomes all nations? And will you be one who dies to all selfish ambitions? And will you be a true servant leader by example, by the grace of God? So help you. If you will, would you say amen?
Amen.
Today, we want to give you a chance to utilize a memorial, one that Jesus instituted for us and one that Jesus left for us. We want to give you a chance to walk down the center aisle. We want you to walk down. Even if you're not a member of Truth Tabernacle of Praise, you are welcome and you are encouraged to observe the Lord's Supper today. It's not Truth Tabernacle Supper. It's the Lord's Supper. The Bible says that on that night of the Passover, that week before the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus would come, that Jesus took the bread and Jesus took the juice. And the Bible says that He blessed it. He blessed it before He ever gave thanks for it. And today I want you to be blessed by the blood and by the body of Jesus, which was given for you. I want you to utilize this memorial to embrace the significance of a covenant relationship. I want you to understand that God has exchanged robes with you. He has taken all of your unrighteousness, and He has put on you His robe of righteousness. That no matter how many mistakes you have made, no matter how many unwise choices you have made, no matter how many times you have blown it, God looks at you as 100% righteous through Christ Jesus. And so today, establish your covenant relationship all over again. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you've never been born again, but you would like to, just cry out to Him where you're at with these words, Jesus, save me. Save me right here and now. Give me your robes. I give you my robes. I will be your righteous servant from this day forward. If you make a decision like that, if you pray a prayer like that, or you want more information about how to do that, just tell me. And I'll be glad to help you with it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. And as soon as I have finished praying, you can come and take the bread and take the juice. And you go and remember the covenant relationship that you have. Maybe you're feeling threatened. Maybe you've got enemies all around you. As you take the bread and you take the juice, remember that you're in covenant with God. And He is going to fight for you. And no weapon formed against you will prosper. Father, thank you so much for covenant relationships. Thank you for these my brothers and these my sisters. Thank you that together we are the body of Christ and we are in covenant with you. We are in covenant with each other as members of Truth Tabernacle of Praise. Thank you for those that will be joining with us as the Spirit gives them liberty. Thank you for those who will come under the umbrella of this covenant protection as a church family. But Lord, thank you for sprinkling us with the blood, sanctifying us, making us holy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.